Blog Talk Radio.
All right, there is Blog Talk Radio live and YouTube, I believe, is live. Zoom, we know, is live, and Facebook, I believe, is live. Welcome. Welcome. Hope everybody had a great day today. We had a very hot day here again today. I am really, really ready for cooler weather again. It's been, between 95 and 100 for about 3 weeks now, it seems like, for the most part. And wow, it's just, and done with the heat. And here is Pastor.
All right. That should probably be my last interruption for the night, and no more interruptions. Good afternoon, good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing tonight? There is my YouTube. Evening, YouTube. It's good to have you with us. Blog Talk Radio from around the world. To get everybody in their rightful place here. Can't have anything out of order. Get your stuff together. There we go.
But anyways, isn't it nice to have Pastor home in the house? Sometimes it's fun to be out in the summer. I don't really like that too. I really like the scenery. But it's nice to not have the chaoticness of that. Sometimes the hard connection, whatever, it can make sense.
Yeah, there's nothing like sitting here in the studio doing this.
Yeah, it's very comfy.
And certainly, most certainly, we truly covet your prayers for every one of us to be able to see what it is that God is doing at this time. Now, this isn't my message, but I'm going to say this so that everybody that's connected can hear this and see it. When you go through the book of Acts and you see what the original church was like, God moved and did things in many different ways. Every place Peter showed up, God just moved, the Holy Ghost broke out, and they had a big party. When the day of Pentecost, the whole city just went crazy and got born again. Paul went to Corinthians and argued with them in the synagogue built a huge church, the same thing at Ephesus. And yet at Philippi, they were out meeting on the side of the riverbank.
Yeah.
All right. So you have to look at it and say, well, even though these are all of the glorious ways that the church was built back in the day, we cannot limit God to only one way of working. And I don't covet this place we're in at all. This is not my plan. This is not my desire. This is not what I'm looking for. I don't know if you're catching that drift. That drift like that. When you find yourself in a position that you're like, why am I here? then it behooves a person that you allow me to use a big King James word. It behooves a person to look at it and say, all right, there's something here that's got to be seen. God, help me see it, and then help me function in it and get to that next level. Because all of us love to function in our comfort zone. Everybody does.
Right.
Your gift and your callings from God are your comfort zone. They will make you feel very comfortable, very at ease, very empowered to do the work of God. So there's nothing wrong with having a comfort zone at all. Everybody needs one. But when God is looking at you and me and saying, I need you over there, he's showing you a new comfort zone that you're going to love if you won't resist it, if you don't talk against it, if you get a confession out and put some verses together and say, I've got to get up here, so I'm going to keep making these verses till it becomes revelation inside of me. Well, then all of a sudden, you'll find a whole new level of promotion where God wants you that will be so much greater and so much better than where you are right now. But just because it's his will doesn't mean it's going to come to pass. A whole lot of people that believe that doctrine, well, it's God's will. If it's his will, it'll come to pass. No, if it's his will, you're going to go to work and bring it to pass. Joshua had to take the land. Paul had to take the gospel to Asia. One trip for Paul was walk 450 miles and have God say no, 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 no. Well, isn't that something? We're about to have walked all the way to the water. Where do we go now? And that's where the Macedonian call came, and Paul knew to go across the Adriatic Sea over into Macedonia. So the challenge that every one of us face, it don't matter who you are or where you are. I wish I could had them, the teachings by Brother Hagin, where he talked about having missed God.
Brother Hagin
missed God.
Wow.
And he didn't stop preaching. He didn't stop doing the work of God.
Yes.
He wasn't in sin. He wasn't doing anything wicked. But God said, I want you, Kenneth, to go over there and do that. And he kept going this way. And then he ended up in the hospital with a heart problem. And he's like, why am I in the hospital with a heart problem? And when he got there, he found out he was in the hospital with a heart problem because he wasn't listening to God. And another time he fell and broke his shoulder or something. And both times, those things happened because he was not following what it was that God told him to go do. And he said, you're going to be way off. I can't let you be way off. But as soon as one of those things he was to do is to take the move of the Holy Spirit to the generation. As soon as he started those meetings, man, those meetings just exploded all over the whole nation. I was in one in Granville, Michigan with Dwayne Vander, whatever his name was, Dwayne Vanderclough?
Vanderclough?
Yeah. Isn't that something? What's his name, Dan? Dwayne. Bernie and Dwayne. Anyways, they showed up there and the singers were there and they had a move of God show up there. And that was the night I saw the lady's foot grow. see, you watch it grow. Her leg, her ankle and feet were two different lengths. Just, you can see it just grow out. You're like, wow, check that out.
Mm-hmm.
And she stood up and her spine was in order. Her shoulders were in order. And so you see that.
Vandercook.
Dwayne, brother.
Dwayne. I know Bernie's last name was Groendijk, but well, I'm stumbling over the other one. But anyways, the idea is God is always moving all of us. He's moving us from glory to glory, from grace to grace, from faith to faith. Could you send Roger a notification that we're on?
I didn't.
I just put one post in the family thread. You have to text it to him because he doesn't get the other. So I want to encourage you because in everybody's life is a plan from God, Psalm 139. Wow, I really came here to do read the word, but I gotta go here. So let's do it. Psalm 139. Don't worry, this is not what we're doing tonight. This is just the introduction to what we're doing. Psalm 139. Now, throughout the history of what we've done here, we have had many different places we've had to grow into. And in so doing, we've had to step up to the plate. And, you know, many times you look at it and you say, wow, every bit of it was an act of doing the will that God gave us, even though it's been intense. I mean, you think about it. I don't know the number, but since the 22nd of March 2020, we have broadcast something every day somewhere in one way or another for 2.5 years. That's a pretty serious plan. That's a very, very, very serious set of make this happen. Now, you... What?
It made me think of Nancy Dufresne the other day when they asked her, Brother Colson asked her to go on, have a daily program on Victory Network. And she was all excited about it. And they said the only thing about daily is that it's very daily.
It's very daily.
It changes your whole life.
It's very daily. And
very
she's
daily.
And she was on the, what I'm trying to say, my son-in-law is actually editing all of her videos. And he has literally worked 12 hours a day for, 3 months? I mean, it's been a very, very, very serious work that they've had to do to get it done. And so I just encourage you. You might say, yeah, but I didn't have to work this hard. How hard did Paul and his team work when they walked 450 miles and they preached every day in the synagogue? So
yeah.
What ends up happening is you see that the influence of the Egyptian system that says, I want to work 40 hours a week and that's all I want to work. Well, I really don't believe in the kingdom of God. There is a, that there's a position that's only 40 hours a week. This is a life that you and I have to live. But what we're going to see from that is all of a sudden we're going to see, there it is, All right, 2 Corinthians. No, let's just, I got to write this down. This is not in the script for tonight, okay? Look at Psalm 139, 13 through 18. 13 through 18, because what you and I have got to realize, every one of us, we got to realize God has a big old huge plan for us to live in. And it's not a plan like, hey, you know, I got a plan and you might want to do it, but, you know, you might not. And if you don't want to, it's just no big deal. Well, there's a problem with that, because that's not who our God is. God's plan is, this is what I told you to do. This is what I want you to do. Go do my work. All right. And his plan is not, and, you know, if you don't really want to, you don't have to. It's just up to you. Do whatever you want to do. Well, you're just not going to find to do whatever you want to do in God. You're going to find that God's going to say to you, I need this done. And then here comes the blessing. And then he's going to say, I need this done. And then here comes the blessing. And then he's going to say, I need this done. And then here comes the blessing. And what you end up seeing at the end of all that is that what you've done, it's what's written in that book in heaven about you. Our moms, our dads, our teachers, our college professors, all of those people that said to you when you were in grade school, you should probably become a, they scripted your life by what they said. If that scripting was not a statement that had in it the plan of God, you probably are not doing the plan of God for your life. You're working, you're married, you got kids, you've had a job, you paid your bills. Good, 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 and good. Now you came to the kingdom and it's time to say, according to this holy word of God, what am I supposed to be? Because that is the only thing that satisfies you, is that you be what you're supposed to be. Wait, even if it's 18 hours a day, the plan of God, you won't be happy anywhere else.
Yeah,
okay. You'll be sitting around going, I'm really bored. I'm bored. I'm bored. I'm bored. Somebody tell me what to do. I need to go do something. I'm bored. Why am I just sitting around? And you become very uncomfortable. Wait, let's say it a little differently. And you become very hard to live with. Why? Because you've not found your place functioning in your grace. You know, I see these mighty men of God. I'm not trying to make you one of them. All right? I'm not trying to say you've got to be just like they are. I'm not trying to make you a Kenneth Copeland, a Jesse Atlantis, a Billy Graham, the Charles Stanley, anybody else. I'm not trying to make you none of them at all. God wants you to become exactly what he made you on this earth. And when you become it, all of a sudden, there's a happiness and a joy inside of you you didn't even know existed.
Yep. The
he gives you the desire of your heart, and he puts the desire of your heart in you.
Amen.
There. Now, I'm in Psalm 139. This is all introduction to read the word. Let me see.
Wow.
Let me see. Can I get an amen or something from you, Brother Dan? All right, I'm going to get all these screens. I was a little more fluid. There we go. We're just on YouTube. We call you blessed. We're glad to have you with us. Thank you. It's good to be sitting here in the studio with you. And I'm really working. I'm really working me and us so that we can make this continually happen. All right, because this is the answer. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
I love the word. Thank you. I wanted to bless my heart, my pocketbook, my family, and all of the COF family. So while you're blessing, Rebecca, bless all of that. Mm-hmm. Oh, bless Ripley, too.
And Roman.
Oh, and Roman, yeah. Wait, and bless Bill the Buffalo, because he always lays right by the entrance of the national park. Mm-hmm. We want him to be there. Here we go. Psalm 1, if you don't understand that, don't worry. All that's just stuff. That's just community of faith, family stuff. That's all that was. And you're welcome to be a part of it. Psalm 139:13, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you. Do you notice that your only part of your mother that's mentioned is her womb? For you, God, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest places of the earth. God is literally showing you and I that he used your mama's womb to get you in this earth. That's why he said, honor your father and mother, because they're the ones that got you into this earth. And when you cuss the plan of God, how you got here, you're probably not going to be too happy. Because now you're cussing God. I should not have been born in this family. Don't know why I was born with you people. I should have been born over here. People say, I wish I was born in 1800. God didn't put you there. He put you here. He put you here. Put inside of everybody that's here right now the ability to be technologically advanced. It's our mouth and our own problems why we resist it and then make it difficult for us. Woo! I'm preaching better than you're scowling. Verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. This is you before the conception of your mom and your dad. Did you see that? Your eyes saw my substance yet before I were formed. That's before this happened. That's before egg meant sperm. God saw your substance. And he wrote a book about you before you ever came into your mama's womb. Look at that verse. When as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand of the sea. When I'm awake, I'm still with you. Watch. What are you saying, Pastor? God has a plan that he needs you to get to. But the only way you're going to get to it is to begin to talk to him about you. And realize he wants to be as powerful and great and strong and wonderful to you as he is, and you can see that he is, to Leanne and I. We are an example of God's love and his mercy and his grace. We're an example of how God talks to people. Those of you that's been here with us every day, I mean, Brother Dan doesn't do a lot of teaching, but all of you have a great respect for Dan. You see him here. He understands something about God. All right? Sister Phyllis. He's usually always here. So where are you, Phyllis? That was just a joke between me and Phil. It should be all right. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Wow. Well, 3:18 is where you got to go. But you shouldn't do 3:18 without reading all of chapter 4. All right. Let's do 3:16 through 4:18. And I'm just going to read the word right now. Ready? Somebody put the verses in, so those who are showing up has the ability to see where we're at. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I like liberty. I don't like bondage. How many don't like being bound? I hate bondage. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. God is moving us from one level of glory to the next, if we will let him. If we don't let him, he can't move us. Have you noticed that? If you say, I'm not going, he'll leave you alone. Why? He has to. Say it again.
You don't want that.
And you don't want that. Many times you've been studying and growing and doing and study growing and doing, study growing and doing, and all of a sudden you come up against something, and then like a month later you're like, where's God? Where's my stuff? What just happened to me? You came to a point in God where he said, enter in, enter in, enter in, enter in. And when you finally say, I'm not entering into that, then he has to back off. And the next thing you know, you'll be like, wait, where did God go? Well, God didn't go anywhere. You and I went somewhere. He is moving us from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Now let's read this whole chapter without stopping and preaching. What do you think? Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. There's people that do that. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is only veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded.
Wow.
The God of this age will blind your heart. So don't give yourself to anything, any of his steal or destroy. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying you, it is not of God. Do not accept it. Resist it steadfast in the faith.
Amen.
And in the face. And crush it. I didn't get too far without preaching. Even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. Verse 4. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. God wants the gospel to shine on you.
Yeah.
But it cannot if you're not giving yourself to it. You might want it to be. You might hope it's there. But until you give yourself to it, You are not going to see yourself get the benefit and the blessing of it. Verse 5, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. We are not the example. We are not the standard. We are an example of the standard in God. Verse number 6, note 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of man. So everything that's happening is so that inside of your life, you begin to be an example of the power of God. But if we're resisting it, if we're fighting it, if we're saying, no, I'm doing my own way, then you don't get to be the example of the power of God. And that's what he wants from you. The excellence of the power might be of God and not of us. We're hard-pressed on our side, but we're not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Let me ask you a question. Hard-pressed, does that come from God or the enemy? That comes from the enemy. Crushed, that doesn't come from God. Perplexed, that doesn't come from God. Persecuted, that doesn't come from God. What does all of that come for? Matthew chapter 13. When the word begins to take root in your heart, the enemy's going to shoot the fiery darts to steal that word so that faith doesn't grow in your life. Hard, that's what he said, verse 8. Hard-pressed, yet not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not struck down. Forsaken, but not destroyed. Well, I got it all messed up. Anyways, verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. In Paul's day, they were still hearing the words of Jesus that said, many of you will die like me, and that'll be an honor to you to die like me on a cross. Many of them, they're like, you know what? I'm going to have to die on a cross like Jesus and suffer like Jesus, so I better get my mind ready for the fact that I'm probably going to die that way. Well, that's not what Jesus was saying to them, that everybody after him would have to die on the cross. He's just said, the enemy's going to come after you just like he came after me. Crush him at every turn of the road. You don't let the enemy crush you. Verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. What is it? Life, life more abundantly be manifested in your mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. Now, go to Psalm 116, verse 10. Psalm 116, verse 10. This is David giving God glory for the deliverance from death. Watch this. I believed, therefore I spoke. This is a statement from David in the Old Testament. This isn't Paul. Wait, this isn't Brother Copeland. This is Paul. This is David. And Paul is quoting David. You and I live the life of I believe, and therefore I speak. Now, keep reading. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God, which is what you and I are doing. We are spreading grace to the many, to everyone who is ever connected to us in any form. God bless you, Roger. It's good to have you. Bless your Sunday. Good to have you tonight. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Look at what he says. I was there. Now I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you lose that faith in your heart, in God, that he's going to move, everything begins to go the wrong way. He came to heal the brokenhearted, then you start living with a broken heart. He came to set the captives free, but you're bound. He came to give you life, life more abundantly, but you're beginning to live in the function of death. And you get this false doctrine, religious doctrine that says, Jesus just wants me to suffer for him, so I will. No, he doesn't. Jesus wants you to stand up and punch the enemy, crush him right underneath your foot, and keep him underneath your feet. Because see, the only reason the enemies come at you is to steal the word of faith. To steal that word. If you'll stand in the word and not surrender it, you can't have it. And as long as you're functioning in faith, mountains move. Miracles happen. Lives are changed. First, I'm in verse 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, our light affliction for the word of faith that's in our heart is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, circumstantial evidence, the circle you're standing in, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And what does that mean? That means you got to spend enough time with God alone in prayer that you know where he's telling you to go, and you write it down, and you hold on to it, and you get busy doing it because it's the will of God for your life. Amen? Yeah. Say this with me. I've got to know God's will for my life. And there's only one place you find that. You don't find it here with me preaching. God will give you bits and pieces of it. But as I'm leading you in the things of God here, he's talking to you, and then when you get alone with him, he's like, go do this there. Go do that there. Go do this there. Go talk to that person there. What begins to happen? Now you're being a very valuable asset, blessing, family member, body of Christ for the things of God. And that's what he wants for you. You think about it. Our light affliction, that's what Paul just said. Our light affliction, which is just for a moment. How can it be for a moment, Pastor? Because that fiery dart, phew, that's just a picture, and then you just keep moving. And here it comes again. Phew, that's just a picture. It's just for a moment, unless you stop and begin to meditate in it. And if you begin to meditate in it, now it's not for a moment. Now it's for as long as you're meditating in it. What is it? The fiery dart. As soon as we meditate in it, it is not for a moment. Now it grows fear. It grows confusion. It grows bewilderment. It grows wondering. It grows questions, questioning your faith. As you meditate in a fiery dart, builds all kinds of confusion in you that you can't have functioning in your life. That confusion will only produce more confusion. And that's why, don't worry, there ain't a soul on the face of this earth. There ain't a person, a being, spirit. It isn't going to have to continually deal with this part of your life right here. And what is that message? That you look at yourself and you say, self, get yourself together and start resisting this fiery dart that's coming at you. And the only way you learn that is to get yourself in those verses of scripture that God wants you to have. And he's pointing out for you to study. And you say, man, that verse pastor keeps saying, I got to get that down in my life. Well, as you meditate in that verse daily, continually, all the time, now what begins to happen in your life is victory and strength and peace and power. And then when the enemy comes, those verses that you've been meditating in pop up out of you and you speak them and the enemy's crushed immediately. And what's interesting is I have given, you know, throughout this period of time when we've been here, I've given 10,000 verses of scriptures. I've spoken some of these verses over and over and over and over and over. Not so, will you finally get it? No, that ain't going to work. No, it's so that inside of you, the Holy Spirit can bring alive in you that verse and says, I want you to write that verse down, get it on a piece of paper, and get it down inside of you as a revelation. What's going to happen then? You are going to become a flaming example of that truth. That light will burn on the inside of you. What did Jesus say? City set on a hill cannot be hid. Cannot be hid. The city set on a hill cannot be hid. What's that mean? No matter what the enemy's trying to do in your life, he cannot get it done because the fire and the power of God's word is living on the inside of your life. Because his word does not fail ever. Not once, not ever. It cannot fail. It will not fail. God's word cannot fail. It is. There's just no way this word is going to fail. He said, I am not a man that I should lie. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. And then I think I'm probably going to be done with this right here. Don't worry, it's all introduction. That is encouraging every one of us. God is encouraging every one of us tonight. I have a plan for your life. Get alone with me with a blank piece of paper and let me do some talking to you. You might get a bunch of stuff written down and say, Pastor, help me see what this is. I can do that. But the greatest thing you're ever going to hear me do is teach you to hear God's voice and to grow a relationship that is very close with him. Very close. And very, very much. Built on the solidity of who God is. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. Now, that's the New King James. Let's read that in the King James. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Let's read it in the King James. Facebook won't let you write anymore? Well, it's just weird. Chapter 1, verse 12, in the old King James, not the new King James, that one says, come on. The Lord said to me, thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. God is wanting to hasten his word, bring it to pass. God is pretty serious about getting his work done. He's just got to get some folks that will work alongside of him and let him take them where he wants them to be. And but Pastor, God is always asking me to go do things I don't want to do. Well, I think what you're going to find out is it's what you do want to do. You're just operating in a comfort zone saying, I like this comfort zone. I don't want to get over there to the next one. I'm going to tell you, the next comfort zone you're going to have is going to be amazing and wonderful and awesome and enlightening and encouraging and empowering and blessing and helping. And you're going to be like, man, why would I ever have resisted getting into this place in my life? Why? Because he's moving you from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from grace to grace. He's not moving you from trial to test to persecution to suffering. No, that's the enemy. That's the enemy that's doing that. Now, let me just go ahead and say it.
And you know, so many times people, that is what keeps people from wanting to surrender their lives to God, because the enemy has convinced them, oh, you go ahead and do that, and God's going to have you doing this or doing that or some awful thing. Well, that isn't God. Anything God has you do in your life is going to be pleasing to your spirit, your soul. Yeah. It's going to be your joy. He's not ever going to have you doing something that is horrible or scary. That's the enemy convincing you of that, so you don't surrender your life to him.
Well, but
there's nothing bad in God, too.
There's nothing bad in God, even though there might be scary people in God. Brother Terry Mize said he's thrown a lot of communists up against the wall. Choked some of them. That's a scary person. Mm-hmm. The nation of India said, don't come here.
They're not necessarily in God, though.
No, right. The nation of India said, don't come here. We'll kill you. He said, you can't kill me. And I'm coming. When they got there, they said, you're going to be in trouble. And he said, you want to die? You want your kids to be eaten up with worms? They're like, why don't you just go and do whatever you want to do? We'll leave you alone. But the plan of God is taking you to a new level of comfort that you don't know anything about. If you resist it, you're not going to get there. It said back in the 80s, there was an old Southern gospel song. Lord, here am I, but send to Aaron. The Kingsmen, or one of them groups, sang it. You know, it was from Moses' point of view. Lord, here am I, but would you send Aaron? And God said, all right, I'm going to send Aaron. And you're not going to get the blessing that's supposed to be yours. Well, no, I don't want that. I mean, Moses didn't have God living on the inside of him. You and I have God Almighty living inside of us. Can we shut our mouths long enough to submit to him and let him lead us where he wants us to be? Because it's beautiful and wonderful. It is not sitting around doing nothing. It is up and moving and doing something in God. Pastor, you're already scared. I ain't scaring nobody. I'm telling you, you ain't seen nothing yet of what God wants to do in your life right now if you'll just listen to him and say yes and get up and go do it, even if you're afraid. Peter Daniels went bankrupt 3 times by the time he was 50 years old. Most people would say, I'm just a failure at business. And Peter Daniels is worth, I don't know, $8 or $10 billion today. Why? Because he didn't let it destroy him. And after that third bankruptcy, he had begun to do public speaking. And he was so scared to speak in public that he would make a baking soda water paste and take it before he went on the platform to speak so that he didn't have diarrhea while he was up there.
Wow.
And then take X-Lax or something to help him go after he came up. And yet today, the man can stand amongst kings and billionaires and people and never, and he has no fear, zero. Nothing. Why? God was taking him to a new level. What did he have to get rid of? All the fiery darts of the enemy that had been sent to stop him. Don't let him stop you. Don't go off and go do some crazy thing that doesn't make any sense to nobody. The idea about God is he's going to take you where you are and move you to a new place in him because that's where he wants you to go. Well, for those of you that might just be joining us, you might be like, wow, you just took right off preaching. Well, once we got everything up and running here, just so you know, Sister Ann made it all happen tonight. Glory be to God. She's getting it.
Ooh, I'm getting it.
She is getting it.
Thank you for your patience.
I just want to encourage everybody. This is not what I had seen. But I'm not going to resist God right in front of you and God and everybody that's watching and say, nah, I got to just stay doing this. No, we're not only going to do this, we're going to do more. Because that is the plan of God. And thank God for it. Now, tonight, we're going to do some read the words, and we're going to get ourselves caught up, all right? Because I'm not working any more 24-hour shifts.
Amen.
Let me see if I can say that again. Put that out into the realm of the eternities. I'm not working any more 24-hour shifts. Well, this is what we know. God opens up a door, you got to walk through it, and you got to look at it and say, what is in this door? What's here? What's going on? And what are you doing? Help me see it. Help me move into it immediately. Help me find my place as you want me to find my place in Jesus' mighty name. Can we get a big amen? All right, does somebody want to sing? Brother Dan, Sister Sunday, Roger, one of you guys want to sing? Sister Rebecca?
Rebecca's coming to Zoom so she can sing.
Now, I want us to get caught up and read the word. Matter of fact, let's pray over what I just said. Father, in Jesus' name. We know that was by the Holy Spirit of God. We know it. We know many times we would say we feel. There was no feeling about that. We know that you just spoke those words to us very boldly. We receive them from you. Help us go to the next level of glory, to the next level of grace, to the next level of faith. And when you say move, we just move immediately so we can walk in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Bless every person that's with us. Bless every person around the world. Bless everyone in our friends and family, wherever they may be around the world. Bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them. In the mighty name of Jesus, to see this picture and to move in it, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Brother Roger, are we going to get a big amen out of you at all tonight?
Amen. The great amen.
The great amen. Now, here we go. Let me just do a little bit of clicking here. I got to type this in. So, for our first read the word tonight, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 54 through 58. Now, I encourage you, if you have lots of listening time, the Southwest Believers Convention is going on right now as we speak. I'm not sure who's preaching tonight, but there'll be a powerful lineup of faith-filled words and blessing. And it's an inundation of faith like you have probably never experienced. But it's all right. It's a good experience. It's a great experience. And I honestly, one of these days, I'm actually going to actually get there. And now that Sister Leanne and I have been to one of their victory campaigns, you know, locally, I want to get there and work. I don't want to just be there. I want to be there, but I want to get there and work and do something, man. Be a blessing to people. We got to see another side of it that was amazing side. Mm-hmm. And it was a part of that program. And so we encourage you. You'll find it on the Victory Channel, victory.com, or Go Victory. You can find it on kcm.org. You can go to YouTube and find it. YouTube, they'll have all of the messages so you can go back and replay them and listen to them. And I encourage you to do that. It is a good thing. Brother and Sister Copeland have paid a very, very dear price their whole life to be faithful and honorable and integrity and thank God for that, because they're a wonderful example of God and his will coming to pass. God told him, listen to this statement from what I just said. God told Brother Copeland, I want you to go on every available form of media, from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. Now watch this. Brother Copeland said, okay, yes, we'll do that. But then he didn't do it. Now watch this. They got $2 million behind in their TV budget. $2 million behind because of the daily TV is expensive. And he finally told Gloria, I can't figure out what's going on. I'm going to go to the prayer cabin. Somebody gave him a cabin in Arkansas where they can go and just pray. They call it their prayer cabin. Somebody sowed it as a seed to him. And he got there and he's like, I showed up to spend weeks here if I had to. And God said, why aren't you doing what I told you to do? Well, if you're willing and obedient, you eat what? The good of the land. He's like, what am I not doing? He said, I told you to go on every available network, top of the world to the bottom, and all the way around the middle. He said, yes, you did. He goes, well, then go get it done. You are where you are because you're not doing that work. Oh, $2 million behind. Everybody said it would take them at least 4 years to get caught up. It was paid in full in 6 months. All he had to do was say, I'm not resisting your plan in my life any longer. I will let you be who you want to be in my life. Jesus, for
them. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, here we go with Read the Word. Our first Read the Word today, I did one earlier. That was Isaiah 49 through 53. This is the beginning of the word. This is more of the prophecies of Jesus. And our next one is Isaiah 54 through 58.
What was the first one? was the first Sunday church? I thought Isaiah 54, 58, that's what we're doing now.
That's what we're doing right now. Yeah. All right, now I want everybody to just pause for a moment of silence. Because I'm going to put a space in my audio recording so I can see it. This is like that stare game when you was a kid. See who's going to look away first. Ah, I got you. I got you. It was you. You looked away. Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. Wow, we have really gone through the book of Isaiah fastly, haven't we? Isaiah chapter 54, 55. 56, 57, and 58. All right? Welcome to Read the Word. We're so glad to have you with us today. I better grab my notebook. Hold on. I'll come back to that in just a minute. Ready? It's just easier this way. Anybody notice that today is August
22? Oh, yeah. 22. I did notice that.
All right. Now let's try this again. Get everybody in the right spot. Sister Sunday's over there on YouTube. God bless you. Brother Roger, Sister Rebecca's over here on Facebook. God bless you. Now, those of you that are joining us on Facebook, none of us seem to be able to post over there. It's not that we're not trying.
Right.
They just aren't letting us. So I encourage you to go over and post on YouTube. You don't get to put hearts and likes and loves and that kind of stuff, but it don't matter. At least we're together as a family. Just learn YouTube now. We're going to still put it up on Facebook so that anybody that wants to watch it over there can watch it. But we're going to just keep rolling with this thing, and you can't be stopped because this is the work that God's given us to do. You ready? Isaiah chapter 54. A perpetual covenant of peace. It is prophesied by Isaiah during the captivity to Israel and Judah. And yet it's prophesied to you and me. And, can I have a couple more pieces of ice cream? And it is the story of Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one that's going to bring the peace. Here we go. Sing, O barren one, you who have not born. Break forth into singing. And cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left. Your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. I like that. I like the comment that wherever you and I show up, desolation is going to go away. Amen. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. I'm going to read it again. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced. For you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore, for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your redeemer, the one who bought you back, is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how far away you've walked from the things of God. Come back. Don't keep walking away. Come back. You might say, yeah, but Pastor, one time I was doing real good. I'm not supposed to be preaching, but it's just on me. I did real good in God, and then I walked away. Well, stop. Don't just stay walking away just because you did one. Get the revelation and turn and do the right thing. There's no reason to continually go the wrong way. Yeah, but I'm going to hell anyway, so I might as well. No, you're not going to hell. You're not going to hell. God didn't banish you to hell because you made a mistake, or you made 87 mistakes. God looked, Jesus looked at the woman at the well and said, you've had five husbands, the man you're with is not your husband. Go get him. So she did. And she and those six men, changed the whole city. How am I going to read all these chapters without preaching? It's my favorite book of the Bible. Verse 9. I made it all the way to verse 9.
Mm-hmm. You only stop five times to preach.
For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be angry with you and nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart, hills will be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Should we read it again? The mountains shall depart, and the hills will be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Say that. God is being kind to me. God is being kind to you. God is being kind. Nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. I'm going to insert it right here because it's important to insert here. Psalm 103. Just go read that sometime because that's filled with how much mercy God has for you and me. I'm even going to write it right in my Bible because I want to remember that next time. Oh, you afflicted one, tossed with tempests and not comforted. Behold, I lay your stones with colorful gems, and I lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies. Isn't that a beautiful sight? Your gates of crystal, all of your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children in righteousness. You shall be established. Whose righteousness? Jesus' righteousness. Not your own. Your righteousness is going to fail. His will never fail. In righteousness, you'll be established. You'll be far from oppression. For you shall not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Look at those verses. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sakes. Communism, socialism, feminism, male chauvinism, fall for our sake. We're not the weak. We're as bold as the lion as the tribe of Judah. And you're nothing but it isn't. 16. I created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. I created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. Isaiah 54:17 needs to be one of your most favorite verses. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. Condemn those tongues. Condemn them. Why? Because you're supposed to. Jesus said, God, by the Holy Spirit, said, every tongue that rises against you in judgment, if it's true and you're doing wrong and stupid, then you're going to be judged. Till you come to God and then stop being stupid, and then you don't have to be judged no more. Because you live in his righteousness. In Jesus' name. Chapter 55. We made it. Did you see that? We made it.
A whole new chapter.
It only took 10 minutes.
It's okay. There's nothing wrong with the exhortation.
Chapter 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. How do you buy with no money? It's called faith. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Are you hearing what God's saying? Buy with no money and let your soul delight in abundance. Keep buying. You don't want to have abundance. God wants you broke. No, he doesn't. Why did he put that verse in there if he wants you broke? You just got to get over the preachers that have done it wrong. God wants everyone blessed abundantly. Oh, Jesus, help me. And come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of David. Indeed, I've given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. That verse right there is speaking about you. And I, as a nation, we're not Jewish people. I mean, there's some people here that's Jewish, but I'm not. God called me, and I came a-running. I'm still running. How about you? I am running after God. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. That lets you think that there might be a time when he couldn't be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man is thought. Let him return to the Lord, and he'll have mercy to him. To our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon. verse 5 or verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and they do not return to heaven, but they water the earth and make it the earth bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that comes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it to you. For you shall go out with joy. You shall be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I want you to think about this for chapter 55. God did not say that you cannot have his thoughts. He said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. He didn't say you don't get to have them. He said, right now, your thoughts are not my thoughts. And your ways are not my ways. So what do? Study the word, meditate it, and then your thoughts will be lifted to his thoughts. Think about what God said to Joshua. Meditate in this law day and night, and you will make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. Brother Terry Mize's statement, you're going to hear me make it all the time. Think like God, talk like God, act like God. That's what's going to happen. Isaiah 56. The salvation for the Gentiles. Here we are, guys. This is the promise for the last days generation people. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness. For my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. It was revealed in Jesus. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, keeps his hand from doing evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. Even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name, better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. That matches the book of Revelation where he said, I'm going to give you a new name, then put the name of my God and the name of the city of my God on you. Woo! Verse 6, all the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath holds fast my covenant. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. Look at it. This is Jesus. He quoted it. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Jesus was quoting Isaiah. The Lord God who gathers the outcast of Israel says, yes, I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. I'm another. How about you? Verse 9, all you beasts of the field come to devour, all you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. Wait, this is about Israel's irresponsible leaders. They're dumb dogs. They can't bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they're greedy dogs, which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Every one for his own gain, for his own territory. One says, I'll bring wine, and we'll fill ourselves with intoxicating drinks. Tomorrow will be as today, and much more abundant. These are the priestly leaders that Isaiah was prophesying against. Don't be one of them. Isaiah 57, Israel's futility of chasing idolatry. People are like, well, I'm sure glad I don't have idols. Are you sure? Is your job your idol? Is your family your idol? Is there something you're worshiping more than God and you're gaining strength from that worship of that?
What are you insinuating?
I was just letting that long pause have its effect. We're getting this done. The righteous perishes, and no one takes it to heart. Or I should be. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Of the sorceress, you offspring of the adulterer and the harlot, whom do you ridicule? Against whom do you make a wide mouth and stick out your tongue? I don't know why that struck me funny, but are you not the children of transgression, the offspring of falsehood? Inflaming yourself with gods under every green tree. Look at this. Slaying the children in the valleys. See, it's no new things, abortion. Under the clefts of the rocks, among the smooth stones of the stream is your portion. They are your lot. Even to them you have poured a drink offering. You've offered a grain offering. Should I receive comfort in these? On a lofty and high mountain, you have set your bed. Even there you went up to offer sacrifice. Also behind the doors in their post, you have set up your remembrance. You have uncovered yourself to those other than me and have gone up to them. You have enlarged your bed and made a covenant with them. You have loved their bed when you saw their nudity. God's speaking about spiritual adultery. And to God, there's no difference. You went to the king with ointment and increased your perfumes. You sent your messengers far off and even descended to Sheol. You are wearied in the length of your way, yet you do not say there is no hope. You have found the life of your hand, therefore you are not grieved. I mean, think about it. They were slaying their children in the valleys and saying, this is God. That's perverse. Verse 11. And of whom have you been afraid or feared that you have lied and not remembered me nor taken it to your heart? Is it not because I have held my peace from of old that you do not fear me? I will declare your righteousness and your works, for they will not profit you. When you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you, but the wind will carry them all away. A breath will take them. But he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. There's people today that have huge idols, their career, their family, some kind of sport or hobby. It's an idol.
Movies.
Huh?
Movies.
Oh my, sitting in front of the TV and watching movies. 14, healing for the backslider. Hold on, I'm going to write that now. Healing for the backslider. That's you. Be encouraged right now. One shall say, heap it up, prepare the way. Take the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I will dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I will not contend forever. That's a pretty powerful statement. Nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness, I was angry and struck, and my kid was angry. And he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. I've seen his way and will heal him. I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. Look at 19. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace. Peace. To him who's afar off and to him who is near, says the Lord. I will heal him, but the wicked are like the troubled seas when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. How far am I going?
Wow.
One more?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 58?
58.
Oh, fasting that pleases God. Pastor, I don't know that any fasting I would do would please God, does it? I like my food. I'll tell you what. Now, I'm doing a lot more physical work right now, what I've been doing. But there is no, your body feels so wonderful when you give it rest and you fast every day. Let your body fast for 16 hours a day. Your body feels so much better. Just physically. All right, let's see what he said. I can preach on that and I ain't doing it. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Verse 3, they said, why have we fasted? You have not seen. Why have we afflicted our souls? And you take no notice. You notice there's no relationship here. They're kind of shaking their fist at God saying, we did what this says. Why didn't you do something? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. That's a wicked art. You fast for strife and debate to strike with the fist of the wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush, spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast? An acceptable day to the Lord? Let's just pause. God is never about the action without the heart of love chasing after him.
Yeah.
You can kneel on your knees till you have sore knees, and it do you no good if you're not there kneeling to be in the presence of God. You can wave your hands in worship, but if all you're doing is waving your hands, you're just getting exercise. Because worship comes from the heart. You can clap. You can be the loudest clapper. What is that? Come from a heart of praise. You can be the loudest shouter. Hallelujah! And everybody will turn and look at you like, what is wrong with that guy? Why? Because you're only doing it for loudness. You're only doing it for the action. It's not coming from a heart and an expression of joy and happiness and peace and great gladness because of who God is. See, when we get this picture of our God and we know who our God is and what he's doing, now all of a sudden we do all of this from a heart of worship. What God is saying to them about fasting. Really, in the New Testament, there's really no teaching, in-depth teaching about fasting, because Jesus wasn't even teaching the disciples that you cast out a demon by fasting. No, you cast out a demon because Jesus gave you authority over the demon. Fasting causes you to put the world aside and you to get focused in yourself to be alone with God to draw closer to him. Not to starve yourself. There's no value in starvation. No verse in the Bible that says, when you starve thyself, thyself shall be closer to me, because I love people who starve themselves. It's not God. Fasting is designed for you to take and get closer to God. Can we read now, or do I have to keep preaching? Verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To lose bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. But didn't all of that happen the moment you were born again? Why? Because Jesus came. So the only thing that's left with fasting is you getting your soul in order with this word. 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? How many people fast and make something for somebody down the street? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. You see the naked, you cover them, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then, when you have sought after God and helped your fellow brother, then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you will call, the Lord will answer, you will cry, and he will say, here I am. Do you notice that there's none of this fasting that you're doing for somebody else? This is all about your own personal life. There's a whole lot of people that have given up a whole lot of meals for a whole lot of other people, and it did them no good. Fast for thyself. Intercede for the other person. Yeah, but Pastor, if I starve myself, God will see it. No, there's no starve yourself. God will see it first. Find it and show it to me. I challenge you. Verse 9. If you take away the yoke from your midst, and the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday. The Lord will guide you continually. Somebody shout glory be to God. And satisfy your soul in doubt and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of waters whose water do not fail. Out of your belly will flow what? Rivers of living water, not from fasting. Where do the rivers come from?
The Holy Spirit.
From the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Verse 12. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasures on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And see, you and I have got to look at this chapter and realize this was God speaking to an Old Testament group of people from the Old Covenant. There's many things in here that is no longer in the New Covenant because God has given us a better covenant with better promises. Now, you and I will still fast, but what's the purpose? To draw closer to God, not to starve yourself. God has no starvation, what they call it, or they hunger strike. There's no hunger strike in God that's going to do you any good. It's not God. You're not fasting so he'll hear your voice. Where is God in your life? In the new covenant, he's inside of you. Why would you fast then, Pastor? To set aside time to close things down and to draw into his presence so that you can be with him and come closer to him. That's why you fast in the new covenant. Jesus said to them when they couldn't cast out the demon, but this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting, but they got it out of order because they didn't take the word of God to mean what the word of God is meaning. Jesus wasn't talking about the demon comes out by prayer and fasting. Unbelief comes out by prayer and fasting. Unbelief inside of your life is what causes you to not be able to drive out the devil when he shows up. So if you got unbelief and you fast and pray, it's not so God will see you because you gave up all your chocolate, cookies, candies, pop, and everything that you love. It's so that you can get closer to God and spend time alone with him and draw yourself to a new level in him. Well, Pastor, you're saying Isaiah 58 is no longer important? Oh, no, it's very important. Just run it through the cross. You got to run this through the cross. It's either going to keep it, delete it, or improve it. So fasting in the day that we live, we're not beckoning a God who's way out in heaven. That God has come to live on the inside of us. He's leading us from the inside out. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of your mortal body. You don't have to beg God to send his spirit down on you to heal you. His spirit is inside, healing you from the inside out. Oh, somebody just pray for me so I can be healed. No. Get the Holy Spirit who lives within you, that river of living water flowing up out of you, and that river of life will produce life and life more abundantly. I'm just supposed to be reading the word. I did finish, but I'm still preaching. Now, let's circle the wagons on this, all right? Because I always say that. You and I have got to make ourselves come to God. Nobody can cause you to come to God. Nobody can serve God for you. Nobody can walk with God for you. I love you. I want to help you, but I can't walk with God for you. You got to walk with God yourself. You've got to start saying, Jesus, I need you in my life. Please come and help me walk with you. And he will. Now, to end, read the word. We always pray the prayer of salvation. So, let me look at my next set of verses here. Well, I was checking to see. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to have that opportunity to pray the prayer of salvation so that you will know God. I don't ever want to be the preacher that preaches a wonderful message or brings to you the word of Almighty God and doesn't give you the opportunity to come to know God. So, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life? I encourage you to pray this prayer with me, and you'll be right with God if you mean this from the depths of your heart. Everybody pray it with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again from the dead just for me.
And you rose again from the dead just for me.
Put your hands out and just say it. I receive you into my life right now, Jesus.
I receive you into my life right now, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
I receive all of the fullness of God.
I receive all of the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen and amen. Welcome to the family of God. We're glad to have you here with us. You might say, Pastor, what's going on the inside of me? Because something just happened on the inside of you. It's not a feeling. It's an experience. What is the experience? God Almighty has just came down inside of you because you said, come inside of me. I receive you, Jesus, into my life. All of your love, mercy, grace, and righteousness. All of that just filled your life right now. Somebody said, Pastor, you pray the prayer of salvation every time we come together. I'm going to be an evangelist. I'm going to help people find our God and walk with him. You might even say, Pastor, I don't even know what all this means. I know. That's why God sent you here to a man like me who can help you walk with God every day. I don't know how to be a Christian. Don't try. Just be a believer. Just be a believer. Walk with God. How do you be a believer? Wake up every day and say, I'm a believer. Jesus, I believe in you. Help me walk with you every day. I guess I got to write a mini book about this.
Yeah.
I do. All right, it's done. Now, We've got hundreds of videos that can help you know who God is. And it's all in this very open format like we have right here. This is a blessing from God. This is a blessing to God. This is a blessing to you and in your life every day. And so, anyway, we can help you walk with God. As a matter of fact, I encourage you, send me an email. I got 10 verses of scripture I want to give you. I got some introductory videos I want to send to you that will help you learn the things of God and walk in the paths of righteousness. I want to do that for you and get you started in the things of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So you listen to a message. When you get one that's like, wow, this is really helping me, it's not me. I'm the vessel. It's the word coming off my mouth that's led by the Holy Spirit of God to transform your life forever. And I encourage you to be a part of it in Jesus' name. Well, that's what we have. It's Tuesday. Thank you for being a part of the word, of the Read the Word program. Until we see you again and Read the Word, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. Amen. And amen. And amen. Now, it is 3 minutes to 9 here, 3 minutes to 10 there. The next set of chapters we have to read is 5 chapters out of Isaiah. All right? And I'm looking at them saying, how late are y'all wanting to be up in God? Let me see how many pages of reading it is. Because I want to give due diligence to God's holy word. 59-63. These are my most favorite chapters of the book of Isaiah. I could do a read the word on each one of these chapters. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. And the 92nd baby show. And so, Holy Spirit, give me your leadership. My. Well, I want us to receive communion. That's going to take us another 15 minutes. No, I said 15 minutes. Quit arguing with me. You think she, like, heard me talk or something. And so, 9... Yeah, that's going to make it late again.
Can we do communion and then read some more?
Well, I'm looking at these chapters and...
They're long?
No, no.
But wonderful.
No, no, they're not long. They're wonderful. These chapters are the chapters about Jesus. These chapters are the chapters about you and I. These are the greatest promises, some of the greatest promises of the Old Testament. And I see this next Read the Word as taking, it's going to take us an hour to get it done. And that's going to make it close to 11 o'clock again. And
it's only 9 o'clock here.
I know. I know. I'm at a point in my life where I have to get more rest. I ask you all to pray for me, seriously. Because pray for Sister Leanne and I. because the schedule that we're keeping is right to the wall. And there's an empowerment in God to get it done, but there's also the necessity to lay down and get some rest. And thank you for being our friends and our partners and standing with us in faith. So here we go. Let's receive our communion elements like we do. We know where we are here. We know what's next in the book of Isaiah, where we got to go. So if you will, join with me. I'm going now to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll be reading verses 23 through 28, and then verse 31. And we'll read these verses, then we'll pray. We've already prayed the prayer of salvation, and then we will bless our elements, and we'll receive them together. Here we go. Verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. This is the process. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and then drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to go to verse number 17. 1 John. Wow, where'd you go, buddy? 1 John 4, 17. No, I want to do 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. I love it. He's the head. We're the body. As he is right now, so are we in this world. Verse 18. There is no fear in love. Zero. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it. What is the torment? The trauma. Fear has torment, and Jesus came to set at liberty those who their whole life were subject to fear. And that father of fear is the devil. Jesus crushed him for you and I on the cross in Jesus' mighty name. Now, when you think about it, regardless of what any denominational organization has ever said to you, when you actually find the verses in the Bible about communion, if you are a member of the body of Christ and the communion elements are served, you're supposed to be able to receive them. Why? Because it's the body of Christ that's being broken, and you are a member of the body of Christ. There shouldn't be no, I don't know whether you walk with God or not. No. Let a man examine himself. And then Let that man pray, talk to God, examine himself, and then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 27 says, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Well, Pastor, is that real? Yeah, it's real. But you didn't come here and spend the last 2 hours with me to come in an unworthy manner to communion. That would be someone who comes who's mocking God, someone who comes in and don't care about God. They're coming to, and your heart is filled with hatred and anger, and I'm just going to do this. No, then you're going to drink to yourself that damnation. You come with an open heart wanting God, that guarantees you are right with God. So you're welcome to receive these elements with us. You've already prayed the prayer of salvation, so every one of you that's listening will be right with God, and you're ready to receive the communion elements together with us right now. Are you ready? Pray this with me right now. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus,
for my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
Just pause for a minute and say, I receive the healing power of God.
I receive the healing power of God.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken in my life.
Nothing missing, nothing broken in my life.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his body broken. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your righteousness. Now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus, the most powerful cleansing force on the face of this earth. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin is placed in remission.
Every sin is placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
By the blood of Jesus.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Now this is God's prayer. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down forever.
accuser of the brethren is cast down.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. Amen. Let's receive his bloodshed. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Ha! Just like that, I want to sing that song. Thank you, Jesus, the blood of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, innocently white. Thank you, Jesus,
you have saved
my life. Brought me from the
darkness
into glorious light. All right, I'm going to learn that song because that is one of the powerful songs about the blood of Jesus. That's a powerful song. And it's not an old hymn, it's a new hymn. And for all of you liberal Nazi feminists, it's not H-I-M, it's H-Y-M-M. Don't worry about that.
H-Y-M-N.
Thank you. Hymenin. To Hymenin in the name.
H-Y-M-N.
Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to close this program out because I like Read the Word to be just a program by itself. So I'm going to close this out. And I think I'm actually going to come back and do another one. But I'm going to come back in a very focused sense to get here, read the word, and do a read the word like we've been doing and get it done in about 35, 40 minutes. So I'm going to close this out, and I'll set the next one up and be right back, and you be right back with me. I'll shoot you a link.
So you don't want me to read Jude?
Oh, well, yeah, I do want you to do that. I most certainly want you to do that. I just hadn't,
okay.
I hadn't gotten that far yet of what I was going to do,
okay.
Just giving everybody the plan, because I really want to get us caught up. I've got to get us caught up so we can be right where we are and finish this year in great power and strength. And some people don't realize this, but in the middle of summer, everybody's doing everything wide open because you don't have the limitations of winter. And so that's the natural process that happens right here at the end of July, first of August. But we also know this. There's not a day to ever take off being a Christian. And so I will perfect this and make this thing work. And God is empowering us to get this mission accomplished in Jesus' mighty name. Sister Phyllis, read us our closing verses for this evening.
Okay, Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen. So, we'll see you here in a few minutes. So this is what we have to say. Remember this? We love you. And God loves you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus
is Lord.
Now remember, on all the YouTube videos, if you're studying it again, put some timestamps in. If you say, wow, that's a powerful statement, look up there, click pause, read the little timestamp. It'll be a four-digit, five-digit number. Go down and put it in a comment, make your statement. Put a timestamp in. You're very welcome to do that because it makes it that much more enjoyable for the next person who comes along. We'll be back with another Read the Word in the matter of about, let me see, I'll set a goal, 10 minutes. See if I can get it done. 10 minutes. You reckon?
You can do all things.
I can do all things. Thank God for a good wife who believes in me. Thank you. And cracks the whip. No, she don't do that either.
I kind of do
something. I kind of do something. All right. Sure to love you. Love you Sunday. Those of you on YouTube, we'll be back on YouTube. Watch in just a few minutes. You'll see it up on YouTube. Read the word, and that'll be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. See you soon. End the stream. End the stream. That's